Holy Gospel, an account from the life of Jesus, is recorded in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning with the 13th verse. This will serve as the basis for our meditation this morning. Some people began bringing little children to Jesus so that he would touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I tell you, whoever will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the little children in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I mentioned in the children's talk I was going to tell you where this picture came from. Some of my earliest memories are of this picture. I received it actually before I have memories. Youth group at a church in Minnesota where my father was interning in his studies to become a pastor. They gave it to me because I happened to be born that year when he was doing that. And they gave it to me, and so my parents put that up in my room. And I could always tell you who the people were in the picture. So, of course, there's Jesus. Well, the kids don't have beards, so you know who Jesus is in the picture. The kid in the back, I have a couple younger brothers, but at the time I only had one younger brother, so that's my younger brother, Joe. It's one of my cousins, and it could be a different cousin from year to year. I didn't have a sister at the time, but later on that's my sister. But this was me. Jesus was holding me in his hands. And so whenever my parents would talk about that, when we go to bed at night, when they would we'd say prayers together, and it would be reminded of that Jesus is holding me in his hands. And so if I'd have a nightmare, I have a bad dream, or maybe I get scared. I lived in the Dakotas. We get quite the thunderstorms out there. And I'd go running to mom and dad's room, and they'd tell me, "Think about Jesus. Remember that Jesus is holding you in his hands." And that gave me tremendous comfort. I knew Jesus was in control. I knew that, you know, if I didn't feel well, I knew that Jesus was holding me in his hands. But you know, as time goes on and we get older, we tend to forget that. My father served a number of different churches, and you know, eventually this picture ended up in a box. Kind of got forgotten, didn't get hung up in my other bedrooms over the years and stuff, and just kind of got forgotten after time. But you know, as you get older, it's really easy to forget that Jesus is always holding you in his hands, isn't it? It's super easy. It's really easy to start to try to depend on my own wisdom, my own common sense, my own ability, my own strength, rather than trust in God's wisdom and God's strength and ability. It's very easy to just let all the worries and the difficulties and the sorrows and the grief and the hardships of this life just kind of overwhelm and cause me to forget who's holding me in his hands. Now, shortly after Lisa and I were married, we're packing up my worldly belongings and, you know, putting together creating a household. And, you know, this box came out of storage, or this picture came out of a box in storage. And you know, I could still tell you who is who in the pictures. You know, Jesus, and my brother, and my cousin, and yeah, my sister later, and of course me. There's Jesus holding me in his hands, and admittedly, I had to go searching for this picture again since we moved here to Florida. I had to find it. I'm like, oh, where is it? It's not hanging in one of the kids' rooms. We had to find it. But yet here, in the verses from Mark chapter 10 that we heard as our Holy Gospel this morning, why bother spending some time talking about Jesus and a few little kids and some parents who really wanted Jesus to bless them? I mean, in the whole grand scheme of things, why is that important for us to consider today? Now, you might think, well, the kids are singing today. That's why. Well, actually, we were going to have this reading whether the kids were singing today or not. Why is it important for us as followers of Jesus? Well, as followers of Jesus, we're part of a family. Yes, the Lord gives us earthly families, and he blesses us tremendously through those earthly families, but more importantly, he makes us part of his family. He makes us holy. He makes us precious. He makes us priceless. He makes us blood-bought children of the King. He brings us into his family to be his brothers and sisters. So what does that mean for our lives? What does that mean for us as followers of Jesus? Well, he helps us to love our family. Now, in Mark 10, we find Jesus near the end of his ministry, near the end of his earthly life. There's not much longer before we start hearing about his suffering and death and resurrection. And he's making his way towards the big city of Jerusalem, where he's going to suffer and die and rise again. Now, along the way, he's teaching his disciples. Now, he's been teaching these guys for like 3 years, spending a lot of time teaching them what it means to be followers, his disciples. And yet, they're not so much thinking about being humble servants or being zealous for God's glory or following him, but instead they're like, hey, the Lord is marching on towards glory. He's going to take a throne. He's going to set up an empire. Everything's going to be great. And maybe, just maybe, I might get a good position in his government. And so they started arguing over who is going to get the best position in his government. They were starting to argue over who is the greatest in Christ's kingdom. Who would be the number one? I mean, they're just these grown men. They're arguing over who's the greatest. But of course, Jesus knew what they were doing, and Jesus knew that their arguments were just foolishness. And so what he does is he has them sit down, and he brings a young child into their midst and says, this is greatness. Not that we put the child up on the pedestal, but to have a childlike trust like that child. A trust that is complete. A trust that isn't conditional. A trust that isn't like, well, Lord, if you do this for me, then I know I can trust you. Instead, he humbled them, and there was no doubt. He silenced their argument in that moment. There was no doubt that he was and still is how serious he is about his followers and what it means to follow him. And so at some point after this, moms and dads came to Jesus. They knew about Jesus. They had heard about him. He had gained quite a reputation. They knew he was the Son of God. They knew he was their Savior for them and for their children. And so moms and dads, maybe some older brothers and older sisters, they brought these little ones, these little boys and girls to Jesus. Why? So Jesus could bless them, physically bless them. I mean, for little ones, it's such an important thing, that physical touch. And they wanted that. Moms and dads wanted that from Jesus for their children. They knew that Jesus would bless their children, and that it would be a wonderful thing for these parents to do. And so they come to Jesus, and you know, it's like all kind of noisy, and maybe kids kind of smell a little bit, whatever, and all this stuff. They're coming to Jesus, and then the disciples get a different idea. Whoa, wait, whoa, whoa. Master, the teacher cannot bother with these little kids right now. He's going on to glory. He's going to be doing great things, and this is not a great important thing. So why don't you guys just go home? Leave him alone. You can just imagine, I mean, if you were in that situation, you're bringing your children to Jesus, how would you feel in that moment? You'd probably be like, what? Or maybe it would just be this, like, this heartbroken feeling that the Lord does not have time for me. The Lord does not have time for my children, my loved ones. But Jesus noticed. Jesus saw what was happening. And in English, it's translated as Jesus became indignant, but the word that speaks of Jesus' anger at his disciples in that moment, Mark only uses one other time. It's a very, very strong word that he uses. Jesus was angry at his disciples because they were preventing people from coming to know him, preventing him from the ability to be able, from the opportunity to bless them. And so very clearly, Jesus sets them straight. He says, let little children come to me. Do not hinder them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I tell you, wake up and pay attention. Whoever will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And in that instant, you can imagine Jesus' face going from that of holy God and judge to this gentle shepherd. You can see Jesus just scoop those little ones up into his arms. And he blesses each and every one of them. sharing with them his love. Now, Jesus' words, they strike home. My father he's not this tall or this heavy anymore, but when your dad is 6'5" and 350 pounds, you know where the safest place to be is. If I got scared or if someone was mean to me, I knew where I could go. I knew where I'd be safe. I could climb up into my dad's lap and no one could hurt me. No monster under my bed could hurt me. I was safe. I knew that if my dad was holding me in his arms, I was going to be okay. I was going to be safe. And Jesus speaks to that same childlike trust here. He speaks about the simple faith of a child that trusts even when the child isn't sure. Yet they know they can trust mom or dad. That simple faith trusts that the safest place to be is secure in the arms of Jesus. Now, at first, Jesus' words might sound easy. Of course, that's no problem. I can trust you. But adults, we don't trust that easily, do we? It's awfully easy. We've been burned enough times by people, or there have been enough distractions in our lives. We've had a whole life worth of distractions to get in the way, or Satan comes along and tries to convince us that being in Jesus' arms is not the safest place to be. You need to do this on your own. Maybe Satan uses your job to make you so busy that you spend your life trying to reach a goal that really doesn't mean anything, and you lose sight, you lose that connection you have with Christ. Or maybe he twists your thinking so you go, I'm going to depend on myself. I can get myself through it. I know I can. I need to have control of my life rather than trust the one who provides for all our needs. Or maybe Satan uses an illness or financial troubles or a time of unemployment or a pandemic or difficulties in your marriage or difficulties in your family to make you worry because it seems like in that moment God doesn't care about you and he's not going to take care of your problem. So easily we forget that we are children in Christ's family. We lack that childlike trust in Jesus our Savior to trust him even when we're not sure. So Jesus' words in our text, they cut us deeply. We know how quickly we let distractions get in the way. We know how we try to depend on ourselves rather than trusting God's wisdom to guide our lives. We know how easy it is to let the busyness of this life or the difficulties of this life or the things of this life to make us forget that our Savior is the one who's always holding us in his loving arms, in his hands as his children. But then Jesus comes along and he reminds each of us of his undying love. You are my child. I have made you my child. See what I have done for you. You can trust me without hesitation because I came down from heaven. I left heaven to become a human being just like you. I know what it's like to be an infant. I know what it's like to be a baby. I know what it's like to be a teenager. I know what it's like to be an adult. I know the difficulties and the hardships and the sorrows and the grief that you face. I know the temptations that you face. I've been there. And I've faced them for you. I have made you my child. I've made you my own, and I love you, and because of that, I've even given my life for you. And in so doing, I rescue you from those who attack your soul day after day after day. I even defeated death for you by rising from the dead. I have made you my son. I have made you my daughter through that simple faith created by my Spirit through my word. And one day you will join me for all eternity in my heavenly home. So come, come and enjoy my blessings. Trust me. I will take care of you. Jesus has done so much for us. He has made you his own, and now you get to enjoy all his many blessings. Now sometime, you get an opportunity, take a look at a little one resting in their parents' arms. Maybe they're in a milk coma after feeding. But that little one falling asleep in their parents' arms, they trust them completely. In that moment, that child has everything they need. Everything. Food, safety, protection, assurance, peace, comfort. It's all there. Now see yourself in Jesus' arms. He tells you, I forgive you all your sins, all of them. I've wiped them away. I've paid for all of them. You do not have to pay for any one of those sins. I have taken all that guilt for you. For that reason, someday you will enjoy my promise of eternal life. You will join me in heaven one day. And so, but even now, before then, you can enjoy the encouragement and the forgiveness and the peace that come with being a member of my family. You can enjoy this fellowship you have with your brothers and sisters in Christ, who are also my children, both on earth and in heaven. You can enjoy the gift of prayer that I have for you. You know that you can come to me at any time because I don't sleep. And when there are things that weigh on your heart and mind and cause you to worry and to lose sleep, leave them with me. I'm up all night anyway. You can come to me with the smallest, what you think is the most insignificant things that are on your heart and mind, and the big things that crush you and overwhelm you. And I will give you an answer for your prayer. Your prayer, I will give you an answer for your good. And yeah, sometimes it might be no, but that's for your good. I give you all you need. In my arms, you have no need to fear. What wonderful blessings our God gives to us through our Savior Jesus. Grace upon grace, blessing upon blessing. But why would he give us those blessings? Well, the undeserved love of our Savior Jesus is what got us here. Like those little kids brought by their parents, we too were brought to Jesus. Now, perhaps as a child, your parents brought you. Maybe even as an infant, your parents brought you to Jesus through the water and word of holy baptism. Through that water and the word, Jesus scooped you up in his arms and brought you into his family, like what the kids sang earlier. He made you his own. But then your parents didn't say, okay, hey, they're good. We don't need to hear God's word, do anything else. They're baptized. We're good to go for the next 30, 40 years. No, perhaps they brought you back to keep hearing God's word. They talked to you about your Savior Jesus. Now maybe it wasn't until you were older. Maybe it wasn't until you were adult that you came to know your Savior Jesus. In that case, you were brought also. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was a loved one. Maybe it was a neighbor. Maybe it was a pastor. But it's the same blessing, the same Savior. Whether young or old, none of us can come to Christ on our own. Instead, through the gospel, Jesus makes us his own. And he uses others to bring us to him. Jesus makes you part of his family, part of his kingdom through faith in him. And he gives you all those wonderful gifts, all those wonderful blessings. And now since we get to enjoy all those blessings, we know that they're ours. We just keep them for ourselves. No, we want to share them with the people we know and love in our families. We want to be like those parents who brought their kids. We want to bring our loved ones to him because Jesus says, let the little children come to me. That's what the moms and dads were doing with their kids in that moment. Even Luke tells us they were bringing infants to Jesus. They wanted him to bless their children because they knew he was the Son of God. They knew he was the Savior. And so now even he encourages us to bring our children, to bring our loved ones, and do not hinder them. Now you might think, I don't hinder children from hearing about Jesus. Yet have you ever been the reason why someone has not heard the word of God? Maybe you blame it on a busy schedule. We just don't have time. Maybe you blame it on the need to get away on the weekends because the weeks are so busy. Maybe you figure they'll have a chance to hear God's word later, or when they're older, they'll figure it out. But studies have been done and even shown that if we're not sharing Jesus and not bringing them to worship and not helping them to get to know their Savior as children, it's that much harder for them when they become older because we're basically deciding it for them. Or maybe it's not that. Maybe you haven't taken the time to teach your loved ones that they are holy, that they are priceless, that they are precious, that they are blood-bought children of the King. Maybe you haven't taught them how to act and live as children of God out of love for Christ. If we want our loved ones to enjoy the great blessings that we have from Jesus, we need to bring them to Jesus. If we don't, they and their faith can die. Remember what Jesus said. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Don't forget all those blessings he promises to us. They're for our loved ones too, young or old. Forgiveness and peace are theirs too, as the forgiveness and peace and comfort and strength and all these things. Help and hope for our lives. You know, a disciple by the name of Peter, he once said, as he was preaching to a crowd, he says, this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far away, as many as the Lord our God will call. So if you have children or grandchildren, what can you do? Well, you have many opportunities to bring them to Jesus. You can bring them to be baptized. You can bring them to worship. You can bring them to learn God's word in our school, in our preschool, in our Sunday school. As they get older, you can help them to dig deeper into God's word. You can have family devotions. You can actually spend time together around God's word with Jesus. You can learn how to get into God's word so you can help them to learn how to get into God's word and to make it their own. You can tell them what Jesus has done for you and what Jesus has done for them. You can tell them how he holds each of them in the palm of his hand and that he will never let them go. You can let your life be centered on Christ so he can be the center of their life too. Or maybe you don't have kids. Or maybe your kids have moved out, but Jesus is speaking to you too. You have loved ones, family members, friends, neighbors, people who need Jesus too. You can encourage, you can help parents of every age. I mean, seriously, as a parent, we can always use the encouragement. Maybe you can offer to spend some time with a child who doesn't have a mom or dad. Maybe you can show the love of Jesus by being friendly to the kids and the families in your neighborhood or the kids who live on your street. Maybe certainly you can share the love of Jesus. You can pray for them. You can bring your loved ones to worship. You can point them to their Savior. Whether we have kids or not, Jesus wants us to bring our loved ones to him so they can be part of his family too. Followers of Christ love their family. As his children, we entrust to his almighty care, his gracious care, those loved ones that he has so graciously given to us. So come and enjoy his blessings and bring your children, bring your grandchildren, bring your friends, bring your loved ones along. Jesus wants them to be part of his family too. And what greater love can we show to the people in our lives than to bring them to their Savior so they can be part of his family just as we are? My friends, may Christ our Savior hold you and your loved ones in the palm of his nail-scarred hands all the days of your life. Amen.